Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. And you're going to be glad you did because Robert Fritz is back in the building, so to speak, ladies and gentlemen. Robert is a consultant to companies all over the world, helping them have the maximum opportunity to be successful. He talks to them about very important managerial topics like what he calls the moment of truth. That's the title of his book that he co-authored called The Managerial Moment of Truth. And he's back to talk to us about this some more. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Well, glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. And in fact, you just really just got back from China, didn't you?
Just yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You really did just get back. Well, whenever our Brain Trust members make a trip like that, we like for them to, when they come back, we like for them to give us a little bit of a travelogue. You know, we kind of live vicariously through your life for a few minutes here, Robert, if you'll do that for us. What did you, where were you in China? Where were you in China, and what did you think about China?
I was there working with IBM, and we were teaching some of their folks how to be instructors in the Managerial Moment of Truth training that we offer. I also did a keynote speech for a group of 100 managers that were going through their accelerated development program. But my impressions of China were really quite good. First of all, I have to say that I was primarily in Beijing, and primarily in the part of Beijing that's pretty westernized.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very large country with 1.3 billion people, so mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to say, well, my impression is broad. It's not. It's very narrow. But I had a very good impression. I found that it was much more westernized than I had imagined. That
in what ways? Define what you mean by westernized.
Gosh, in a lot of ways. Let me just start with the kids, you know, because you always tell a lot from the teenagers. Mm-hmm. All the boys have their kind of hair all kind of spiked in a rock and roll way. Girls look really cute with short skirts and kind of rock and roll clothes on.
Yeah.
Television, they have a lot of teenage shows where they do these really goofy things that you'd see American teenagers or teenagers in Europe do.
Right.
They have a lot of rock, music videos, programs on with some American MTV-style videos, but a lot of Chinese videos that are really done in a very similar fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You walk around the streets, and it's there are lots of shopping malls. The Western brands, all of the designer brands are in the shopping malls and so on.
Right.
And you see people
any way of knowing, could you tell if any of the stuff that you were seeing in the shops were made in the U.S., in the U.S.? Or were they American brands? Here's the point.
Well, I did see some shoes that were made in Italy. I don't know.
Well, no. I guess what I'm saying, Robert, is that you know, that's pretty interesting that these people are interested in Western things,
yeah.
American things.
You know, I saw a lot
Robert, if they're made in China, which a good chance they probably are made in China.
Yeah. You'd imagine.
But if there are brands, if it's a Levi brand or some you know U.S. brand of some kind, whatever it may be,
yeah.
Are they licensing that brand or are they ripping that brand off? That's the.
Oh, I think how can I tell? But I mean, by the way, I did see a lot of Buicks on
oh,
the
really?
Road, which is a very popular car.
Yeah. Well, we know they're not making Buicks in China.
Yeah, I don't think we are.
No. So we know those came from the U.S.
Yeah. It's really hard to tell. Certainly I don't think the major stores were doing rip-offs.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of other things I thought was really interesting. They have Chinese television, you know, that's in English. And they were actually reporting on the problems with lead paint and the problems with food.
And is that right?
They were quite upfront about that. And they had people on who represented the agencies of the government, and they were extremely critical of themselves.
Wow.
And they were, because their notion is to protect the brand name made in China, and they really are...
Yeah, that particular brand name is in a little bit of peril right now, and we'll talk about that we'll talk about that just a little bit when we come back after these messages, and then we're going to move on to some other management issues with our good friend Robert Fritz right after these messages. 20 till, stay with us. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find our show, the live simulcast, the two-hour replay, the individual archives of each individual interview broken out and delivered a number of different ways, including the ability for you to podcast those. We'll actually allow you to have fair use possession of these interviews. So we'll check those out when you get a chance at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. And lots of other things you can do there. You can read articles, lots of stuff there. My blog's there. We update that every weekday. And also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz. askjim.biz, and that's where you can find Small Business Answers right now. So I hope you'll check that out. And both of our websites are free, no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in, and you can just make yourself at home. Robert Fritz is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the co-author of The Managerial Moment of Truth and other books. Robert, give us your website and tell us about some of those other books.
www.robertfritz.com.
And the other book that you were telling me about earlier...
The Path of Least Resistance for Managers. This is a book that really is describes an entire approach of how you organize an organization, a company. And I talk about it as composing the company, you know, having the parts really fit together like in a musical composition.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have major themes and you have sub-themes and you have accompaniment and... because too often what we see in organizations is that things self-organize into competing resources and inadvertently...
Silos.
Sorry?
Silos.
Yeah, silos, but even...
Fiefdoms.
Fiefdoms, yeah, like Deming called them, yeah. And what this does is it really takes all of those resources and instead of inadvertently fighting against each other, it begins to reinforce the major direction of the company.
Well, human beings, that's the way human beings operate when they're left to their own devices. You know what the problem with humanity is, don't you, Robert? The problem with humanity is humans.
I think you're going to tell me to.
It's the humans.
Humans.
Yeah. The problem with humanity is the humans. And if you leave them alone, they'll divide and conquer each other.
It's true, though.
And they should
it's
be
really
working
true.
When they should be working together.
The instinct, you're quite right. I mean it in a little more serious way than our joke is, that if you take a group, a division or a team, the team has explicit goals, like accomplish these deliverables, but they also have an implicit goal, which is survival. And so the team always wants more resources and more power and more authority. And usually what happens if you're not in some central way understanding how the strategy works, you won't be assigning the resources correctly. In other words, people inadvertently have to fight it out. And I think the telltale sign is whenever people within an organization are fighting against each other for the same resource base, there's a problem with their real planning.
Yep, I agree with you. And did you see... Did you see when you were in China? Were you around them enough, the in the marketplace enough to tell whether you were teaching them something that they didn't know that they were hungry for, or did you think maybe we could learn more from them? What do you think?
I thought they were very typical of corporate folks I see all over the world. And, you know, wherever I go, people always tell me it's the culture. They'll say, well, you see Robert here in Mexico, or you see Robert here in the Caribbean, or you see Robert here in Germany. Well, you have to understand Robert here in Sweden or here in Brazil. And while people tend to point to the cultural differences, and there are cultural differences, the universalities are much more compelling. It's very hard for people in every culture to tell each other the truth.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean they lie, but it does mean they avoid the hard stuff.
Are they doing it because they haven't built the mechanism to get the truth out, because they're trying to be deceptive, or
no.
Are they trying to protect themselves? What's the motivation for
the motivation
not being?
There's a few different motivations, but one of them is emotional conflict. I mean, it feels bad to have to confront people, and so people avoid it. And that's true in California, it's true in New England, it's true in Texas, it's true everywhere. And so, you know, people often think they're being forthcoming when, in fact, they're softening the truth so much that we don't really know what's going on.
The truth is a disinfecting sunlight, isn't it?
Well, if you look at other disciplines like sports and the arts, where people really have high levels of performance, they can't afford to distort reality.
Right.
In order to really get good, they got to be very truthful. And so it really is it's kind of an occupational discipline. You know, all disciplines are unnatural. It's natural for us to avoid discomfort. It's unnatural for us to, as a discipline, to overcome the discomfort in favor of a higher goal.
Is part of the problem with not getting the truth out, it's not just about not telling the truth. That's not really as much as it is a case of not saying anything, right? Letting something atrophy because we didn't want to make the hard decision. We didn't want to make the obvious, or I should say, you know, just basically tell the truth about the issue.
Yeah, you know, and there's a kind of almost co-conspiracy, kind of like, I won't tell you the truth if you promise not to tell me the truth.
Exactly, yeah, we become codependent, don't we? Stand by, we're going to take a quick break. Isn't there a 12-step program for that or something? I think there is. Robert Fritz is our guest. He's the co-author of The Managerial Moment of Truth. We're going to try to get some more truth out of Robert right after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us.
She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it. Night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Robert Fritz, the co-author of The Managerial Moment of Truth. And Robert, what are some things that we can do in our businesses to make sure that the truth is told?
Well, I think it really takes a degree of leadership. But I think also to really understand that what we're up against is human nature. And not to, and our instincts are never going to change. It's not like we're ever going to feel great about confronting people when we need to. So I think it's developing a new habit, and then from that new habit and discipline, and from that discipline, then people begin to feel comfortable with the truth, more comfortable than they otherwise would be. Because in our process, by the way, it's not simply telling the truth. I have to say that the managerial moment of truth is a specific event in which there's a difference between what was expected and what was delivered. And that becomes the point where we can have a learning experience. And as a manager, you've got one of two choices. You can ignore it or you can address it. By the way, that difference might be that what was delivered was less good, but it also mm-hmm. might be that what was delivered was much better than what was expected. Mm-hmm. We call that a positive moment of truth. And that becomes a learning experience. And with that, we also want to institutionalize the learning. Often what happens is people say, well, well done, and that great job, and terrific. And then no learning happens. So in our process, both a corrective moment of truth where what was delivered is less than what was expected, or a positive moment of truth, both of those are learning experiences that we then can start to improve performance with.
Do managers put up, do business owners and managers put up, do we put up unintentional barriers to truth by the way we behave, the way we respond when someone brings us a problem or a challenge? Do we build these things ourselves?
Well, a lot of times it's reinforcement in the system, but remember, we're talking about human nature.
Yeah.
So the natural tendency is to avoid the hard stuff. And also, people are very busy. Excuse me. People are very busy, so they say, well, look, I'm too busy to address this thing. It's too small.
Well,
happens is the lion's share of the work goes to the high performers, and the other folks tend to go underutilized. And because, nothing's ever said. I mean,
right.
They're not bad enough to fire. They're just not good enough to give work to.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
What you wind up with is bad morale.
Often, because the high performers know that they're getting the lion's share of the work. And the other ones wonder what's wrong with them? How come they're being underutilized? And so, and everybody knows it's the leader who is making these decisions, so what's with the leader? So it has a very undermining effect, because the leader loses credibility. And the credibility is based on the actual work assignments and the way
right.
that person's managing.
If I'm a small business owner listening to you right now, I've got a handful of employees, maybe 20 employees, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start right now making sure that I don't fall into this trap of the truth not being told. Where's the first place I start?
I would start small, and we have four steps, excuse me, Jim, to our process. First is to acknowledge reality, okay, look, the report was due on Wednesday, it's now Thursday. And step two is to really sit down with the person and analyze how it got to be that way. And by analyze how it got to be that way, I mean really do analysis of how the person thought about it from the time they first had the assignment through the point where we are now. And from that analysis, step three is to create a plan for next time. And then the fourth step is to create a feedback system to make sure the plan is working. And those are the four steps in the process.
Is it important? Is it also not important to let the person know what their contribution that they're making or failure to contribute? What either one of those results can affects the organization?
It is. But the real reason to do it is because I think more importantly, it's the notion of we do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
trust.
We do what we say we're going to do.
And trusting and trusting you to do that. Hey, Robert, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Great talking to you, Jim.
Robert Fritz, ladies and gentlemen, the managerial moment of truth. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.